Chidushin Pei Aleph Amar Aleph Amar of Yosef Pesach Pasuach Lushus Harabin Choshim Shem Yichud. Last time we began to explore this very, very relevant area of Hilchas Yichud. And we saw last time, in thinking about the language of Rav Yosef, number one, we looked at what does the Roshus HaRabim mean? So the Bar Hetev quoted a discussion from the Knesset HaGedola, from the early Acharonim, thinking about what constitutes Roshus HaRabim. And we discussed last time, it's really rooted in the Gemara on the top of Pe'al Famed Aleph. The Gemara, one of the implications of the story of Rav of Yehuda of Akazu Ba'orcha, one of the implications of that story is that not every outdoor space is immune to Yichud. Not every path. It was an Orcha. It was mamish, presumably a public path, literally Roshus HaRabim. It may even have been from a Hilcha Shabbos perspective, Roshus HaRabim, an intercity highway. And yet, it was a Yichud problem. Again, the debate whether or not it was a Yichud problem from a point of view of the number of people there, the Shomrim, but it does not seem to be up for debate that it was a situation with Yichud potential. So that's what the Knesset HaGedola says, quoted by the Bar Hetev, the Roshus HaRabim, Pesach Roshus HaRabim, it has to do with time. Kolomar, but it doesn't have to do with time either, he goes on to say, it has to do with over Mishab, right? It has to do with traffic. Lemaisa, are there people around on a regular basis or not? So it's going to depend on the location, it's going to depend on the time. You have to assess this particular time and space. You can look at those four dimensional coordinates, X, Y, Z, and T. At this location, at this time, is there a regular flow of over and Vishavan of the people going by? Then it's Roshus HaRabim. If not, not. The second issue, which we want to discuss, is to properly define the first half of Rav Yosef's phrase. Pesach Pasuach. Specifically Pasuach, let's take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva. Pesachei Tshuva quotes a debate among the Achronim, which already has roots in Rishonim. Take a look, please. The Pesachei Tshuva in Sif Katan Ches. He quotes some very famous names. We're used to hearing of Akiva Eiger in the context of a Lomdushin, Noshim Ezekim Mesechta. This is Kiddushin is in Nashim. But sometimes, Ba'aniyu Seinu, we conceive of Nashim Ezekin as being totally abstract only. Sometimes we make the mistake of assuming that there's an artificial disconnect between Lundus and Halacha Maisa, and we assume that anything which is Halacha Maisa is ipso facto not Lundish. Rabbi Akiva Eiger does not seem to have made that assumption. Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger are everything altogether, as has been the case with Talmidei Chachamim, great Talmid Gedol Yisrael throughout the generations. Let's take a look at Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Pischei Shuvas of Katan Ches, Ayin Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger Zal, Simen Kuf, the Shuvas Hagon Beis Meir. He's discussing a comment of the Beis Meir, also a famous Freilich Elamdisha early Achron. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Beis Meir make the following point. Shekasa. Here we are again. Pischei Tshuva on the fourth column, page Nun Ches. Sif Pischei Tshuva Sif Katan Ches. I choose Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Siman Kuf. The Tshuvas Hagon Beis Meir. Shekasa. He writes as follows: Ika LeMedak. You can Mizeh. You can be Medayik. What's your deal? Pesach Pasuah Roshus Rabbim. The Pesach Sosum Afilu Einu Noel. If it's closed, even though it's not locked. It's closed. It's the Kiva Eger Beis Meir. It's to be wide open. Let's say it's shut, even though it's unlocked. A pole Roshus HaRabim, and it faces. It's Roshus HaRabim facing. You have an unlocked door that gives direct access to the space from the street. Mutter or Aser,
He says, even though you have this unlocked door, and Polishus Rabbi Peshus Rabbim Opasuach Lachatzer, it's open to a chatzer. In our parlance, would be the equivalent of a chatzer in our type of housing, would be the lobby of an apartment building, let's say. The indoor, right? It's semi-private, but there many different families access it. That's what a chatzer was, B'tkufas Chazal, a courtyard. Right? A courtyard that was the way to access multiple houses. So you have you're in a bias, there's an unlocked, closed but unlocked door facing the street or facing the lobby, facing the chatzer. Is a mutter aser, but who ima beyichud behabayis? He and she are alone in this house, in this room, with that unlocked door to the street or the chatzer. Mutter aser, say rikivegan beis meir, havi yichud. It is a problem. The chain mashri kedushin payal. Wow. So rikivegan beis meir say pasuach means wide open. This door. Rabbi Kiveger would say, I'll forget about for a moment about the window, I'll get back to the window soon, but if there was no window, certainly Rabbi Kiveger would say, this door is not pasuach, it's closed, it's not locked, you can easily open it from the inside and the outside, but he says, I don't care, it's not, Rabbi Kiveger says, it's not null, not locked, but it's sasum, closed, rather than pasuach. So Rabbi Kiveger says, the only time they say pesach, pasul, shus, rabim, that means you have a wide open door to the street. Okay, so that's the position of two major acharonim. Let's read a little more, and then they'll be glad to take questions. That's one shita. And then Rabbi Kiva goes on, then Pesachei Tshuva continues. You notice the v'chuleis, as I told you, we saw last time, the men who discussed last time, Pesachei Tshuva had this golden pen, this golden capacity, this remarkable skill that Pesachei Tshuva had, of Eisenstadt. To summarize so vividly, to take a lengthy Tshuva Sachronim and just cut it down to a few lines, but to capture so much of the essence and the language. Rikivei goes on to say, Rikivei quotes his base mayor and agrees that Pasuach means wide open. Achein ra'isi, machahei isa, b'tshuva harashba, simin elef, reishnun aleph, simin 1251. That's in Chelak Al. The way Tshuva HaRashba published, it's seven or eight Chalakim. Chelak Al, Beis, Gimel, Dal, Hei, Vav, Zayin. And then there's what's essentially the eighth Chelak, they're Miyuchasas L'Haramban. There's a set of Tshuvas that were originally thought to be Tshuvas Ramban, who was the Rashba's Rebbe. Ultimately, it was discovered they're not Ramban, they're Rashba. So that's essentially the eighth Chelak are the Miyuchasas L'Haramban. Sometimes you see earlier Achron, like the Shach, we'll call them Tshuvas L'Haramban. That's Tshuvas HaRashba. It's important. Every once in a while there'll be a stira. That's at some point out. And once in a while you have a stira between those Tshuvas and a Ramban elsewhere. An actual, like a Ramban in Chidush HaManshas, a Ramban in the Milchamos, a Ramban in his Sefer Taras Adam. And it's not a stira because the Tshuvas Leha Ramban are not actually by the Ramban. They are by his Talmud, the Rashba, who often agreed with his Rebbe and sometimes disagreed with his Rebbe. So anyhow, but this is the of all those Halakim, by far the largest chelak is chelak aleph of the Tshuvas HaRashba. It's the only one that goes beyond 1,000. Rashba wrote well over 2,000 Tshuvas. Rashba did the Radvaza. It's really remarkable. Think about the amount that they, how prolific. We've spoken in the past how prolific the Ramban was. The Rashba, we're familiar with his Chidush Manol of Shas, much of Shas certainly. And the number of tshuvas that he wrote, and writing was a lengthy process. By the way, how do we have the tshuvas that he wrote? How are they published?
On a printed
right, so he didn't type them, it wasn't saved on the hard drive. So I think the way, there actually hints to, I think the rush in the tshuva mentions, at one point in a tshuva Hilchos Chol HaMoed, you often get slice of life in tshuvas. He mentions, he has a discussion about the Talmud who copies the Tshuvas, is he allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed? So Kosev is a Malacha, but on the other hand, we have to mail the Tshuva today, so it's going to be a Davar HaAved, because we can't make a copy once we mail it. So we only have the opportunity to do it today. So maybe it's a Davar HaAved. Maybe the Talmud who copies the Tshuvas before they go out is allowed to do that even on, who writes them over by hand. I'm not talking about photocopy, obviously. But that's how it worked. You had the Rashba, whoever it was, to write the Tshuva. And then there was a Talmud who was a secretary
would make a copy for the records, and then the original went off to whoever asked the shayla. So we have thousands of true. That sometimes they're also after someone died, after Talmud Chacham died, sometimes someone would try to go reach out to various communities and see, do you have any tshuvas from the Talmud Chacham? We're trying to collect them. But the Rashi was incredibly prolific. And he deals with sugyas. It's the same. The Rashba is a prime example of where lamdas on the Gemara, lamdas and halacha are very, very, very obviously, organically one miksha achas, to borrow the terminology of yesterday's link. Let's take a look at the quotes of Rashba, Maidisa Bachuas, Rashba again, Aleph, 1251. That's not Aleph, it's Aleph. This is obviously Chelak Aleph, Simon, 1251. There's a line of Tshuvas Rashba. That's only Yichud if the door is locked. Na'ul b'manu. Tes samachu. What's that? To sofer. Must be a mistake. Kivaker says it can't be the Rashba wrote that. It must be a mistake. Wow. Again, now remember, you're getting just a little taste of Kivaker. He has a lot to say, and he speaks at length. Rise from sugyas and sota and here and there. He says it can't be the Rashba. He said, look in the Tshuvas Rashba itself. He's trying to bring it right from the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't imply what he says it implies. He says if you look at everything in context, again, it's a long kivager. He were just getting the sort of the skeletal, the forest prize, the skeletal version. But he said that should be key. The essence of what Rabbi Kivager writes is I agree with the base mayor that Pasuach means wide open. There is a line in the Tshuvas HaRashba where he seems to imply Pasuach just means unlocked. And if you look there carefully, I think it's a mistake. I don't think the Rashba ever wrote it. But we're not done. Because the Pische Tshuva now, it's very important by the looking inside. Ayin Sham, okay, it says look there. Achein, Ra'isi, B'Tshuvas HaRadvaz, Chelak Alf, Simen Kuf Chaf Alev. The Radvaz, we just mentioned moments ago, who was a late Rishon, early Achron, who lived in Egypt. Rabbeinu David ben Zimra. I think he lived around the same time as Shulchan Aruch, maybe 1500s. Also incredibly prolific, also wrote thousands of tshuvas. He writes, Hetzik Lashon HaRashba now. He does quote the language of the Rashba, V'lo chasav sheto soferu. He does not hesitate. He does not imply that this is a problem. He quotes the Rashba and assumes that that's what the Rashba wrote. V'sham Herech, and the Radvaz goes on to have a whole discussion based upon that. So what you have essentially is a certain, again, what the Rashba held is perhaps debated, but certainly a machlokas of Kiva Eger and the Beis Meir versus the Radvaz. How do you translate that word, pasuach? Rav Yosef said pasuach, Rabba is not a problem of Yichud. How pasuach is pasuach? The Kiveig and the Beis Meir said it means mamish, wide open. Radvaz said, no, it just means not locked. And what are they arguing about? We'll take questions soon. Yeah.
Whether it's the potential for someone, meaning the amount of the ability of someone to potentially walk.
Oh, good. So Radvaz, who says unlocked suffices, unlocked but closed is adequate to solve a Yichud problem. Clearly, as Gavi points out, Radvaz is clearly assuming that the Yisod, the lumdus of Pesach Pasuach, is what's making it mutter is the fact that people might come in. As Rabbi Neuber's Nusach, I think, is it's a situation of uninhibited entry. Situation where people could come in without, they don't have to knock, they don't have to wait for you to unlock the door, people could just march in. That is matir, the Isra Yichud. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Beis Meir appear to understand the idea of the open. Now, you could have said that the open door just means, well, it's even more inviting, but it's usually assumed, Zvera Shechter says over, I think that's what's commonly assumed by Dvar Halach and others, that it's not just a question, it's not just a matter of degree. Oh, an wide open door is even more inviting, more likely people can come in. It's more than that. A wide open door means not only people can come in, but forget about coming in, anyone who walks by can see you. For sure. Not maybe people will walk in. For the Radvaz, the fact that people might walk in suffices.
Rabbi Kivain Beis Meir, people might walk in, it's not enough. Everyone who walks by can see you, your mamish in eyeshot, that is mutter. So that's a very different type of heter. There's a lot to say about this, but now we're ready for some questions. I'm going to go and try to approximate the order the hands went up. Keith.
If it's unlocked, does that apply to the whole house?
Let's hold on. Good question. Let's hold off for that. Let's gather some questions and we'll try to put everything together. Yeah, Ellie.
I guess similar to your question, but let's say you're in the house with many rooms. So let's say that your yichud is in the kitchen and the bedroom or whatever it is, and the
other rooms
and the front door is open.
Good. So we have to talk about other rooms. Good. What else, Gavi?
What about if the door is partially open, meaning it's possible to see in, but you would have to sort of double back to, and it's easier to get in even than when it was closed but not locked.
Okay, good. Half open door. Good. What else? Let's gather the questions. Yaakov. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Is this different? How does Rashi understand?
Very good. How does this work with Baal Beer? Also, a very, very, very sharp question. Yeah.
I was going to say that we said that
for Rashi,
and we didn't have a, so it was hard to understand that's the point.
But it's just
like bigger.
Very good. Hold on to that thought. Great. Yeah.
What about
Av-i-dan? Avram Yitzhak?
Dan.
Rav Kook? Dan. Yes.
Avram
Kook was Rav Yitzhak HaKon.
According to the Rabbah,
Tov Roi, yeah.
You unlock doors, right, that someone will come in. But what about if you're in somewhere where it's not really so inviting, like Florida, where they could, shoot you?
Ah, okay.
You have to walk
into uninviting. Great. Okay, good, good, good. Good, good question. Yeah? Anyone else? Anyone else? Other questions about Pasuk? Okay. So great, all great questions. One question was, how does this relate to any room other than the front room of the house? And how about if the door is not fully open? How about if it's not so inviting? And how about a Bay Baral Yashiv? Yes, they definitely would play a prominent role here. Yeah, Yehuda.
Either security cameras or it's not your house, so you'll be uncomfortable to do it. Neither of the people's houses.
Camera. Or it's not your house and therefore...
It's just neither of the people's houses. I don't know. Maybe that would be maybe someone could, feel
okay, yeah, other's house. Yeah, Binyamin.
Do both versions of, being forced from
legal
gas bottles?
Oh, is this getting fancy, right? Okay. Binyamin's jumping the gun in a very good way. Libo gospel.
Was it in someone's house or, they borrow someone else's car or something? Is that person at fault or something?
Why would he be at fault?
You want to know if Reuven and Leah are alone in Shimon's space,
yes,
or they're alone in Eliza's space.
Is Shimon,
is the owner of the space at fault for? You were saying, let's say it was a violation of Yichud.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a Pesach Pasuach question.
It's
a general question. Okay.
To be in
okay. So this is a question about what's it called? What's the phrase for it? And in some states, I think it's actually legal responsibility if parents of teenagers allow their kids to host a party and there's alcohol when the parents aren't home. I think in some states, the parents are liable for whatever goes on. There's a term for it. I forget the term for it. It's some very clever term.
Bad parenting.
Yes, that for sure. Okay. All very good questions. Okay. Good. So we have a whole slew of points on the table. Let's review what we have and then let's dive in. There's a question about other rooms in the house. The question about how the door is not fully open. Question about how about the door is unlocked, but it's not really very inviting. Avidan was particularly colorful about how that might look. There could be other less exciting examples also. If it's someone else's house, if there's a camera, how does it relate to Baal Be'ir? And how does it relate to Libo Gaspa? And finally, the question of not Pes Pasuach question, but a generally important question of if there was indeed a violation of Yichud, is there any liability for the owner of the space? And we'll take one more questions afterwards. For this, to what we have here.
Thank you. So let's begin with the Radvaz. Again, we have issue number two is how you define pasuach, and we have here a machlokas between Reb Eger and the Beis Meir versus the Radvaz. Reb Eger and the Beis Meir required wide open versus open door policy, exactly, versus the Radvaz who merely required unlocked. Now, as we said before, this seems to be a nafkamina and a chakir over what's the soda hector of Pesach Pasuach. Perhaps not the only nafkamina, certainly a dominant nafkamina. Is it merely the possibility of entry? Or is it visibility? And I should add certain visibility. Anyone who walks by is going to see you. Everyone, they're over in Vershov, and going back to Knesset Agdol's point, they have a few minutes at least of someone walking by, and anyone who walks by is going to see you. That was Reb Kiver Beis Meir. So talking about the Radvaz first, let's talk first. According to Reb Kiver Beis Meir, clearly, in terms of thinking about other rooms and so on and so forth, it's just a question of are you visible or are you not visible? So are people walking by, even in the first in that first room, or rooms that are further back in the house? If you're within eyesight of anyone walking by, mutter. If not, then aser. We mentioned last time, in the first year of Pesach Pasuach, the story of Reb Chaim Leizer, where he stood at the window the whole time that he was teaching that young Kala Hilchas Nida, so she could have her privacy and she could sit and she doesn't have to have everyone staring at her. But everyone was staring at Reb Chaim Leizer because he was standing at the window. Anyone walking by saw him. Chalon HaPasuch L'Shut HaRabim is acceptable even according to Reb Kiver and Beis Meir if you're visible. And the same for a door, wide open window. If you're in part of the room or one of the rooms which is visible to Reb Kiver and Beis Meir, if not, then usher. Simple. The Radvaz, who says you don't actually have to be visible. Everyone agrees visibility works. The Radvaz for sure says visibility works. Radvaz just has a lower standard. He says visibility isn't necessary. Radvaz says it's enough that even if you're not visible, but people could come in. But the post can point out, the Halacha quotes from the Dov of Meisharim, the Shabiner and others, that it's obviously only, it's not a magical, it's not like a Xeris HaKasev, it's nothing magical. Just because, and this is a very, very, very important point, because unfortunately there's a lot of halachic urban legends about this, sometimes people think you just unlock the door and all of a sudden it's magically mutter. The door unlocked, machlokas, whether that helps, but even according to Razvaz, it only helps, as you guys pointed out, if there's a real chance that people are going to check the door and walk in, which depends on the culture and society in which you're living. If you're in a bungalow colony, where people just randomly walk in and out of each other's homes, so that may be a tznius concern in general, it may be a lack of matovah olecha Yaakov. They got to think about that. But at least, if the door is unlocked, there's a real chance that someone may just barge in. So that resolves an yichud problem. Or if you live on a block where, you know, the little kids on the block are constantly in and out of each other's homes. And Lamesa, if your door is unlocked, at any time, there may just be kids running through your living room. So then, in Achanami, that, according to Radvaz, is Pesach Pasuach. How many rooms? The question is, well, if someone walked in, where might he go? So that again depends on how things work. In some places, you would only walk into the front room. Some places, the kids are going to run straight to the playroom. Okay, you got to figure out. You have to be honest. And again, when there may sometimes be bias, and you really have to ask yourself honestly, objectively, is there a real chance that people will walk in? The Dov of Meisharim, that should be in the Rav, is quoted by the Bar Lach, is pointing out, it's much easier to say this when there are specific people, maybe other people who live in the house, who are likely to actually pop in. He even thinks in that case, maybe even the door is locked, but there are other family members who have the key who could pop in, and there's a real chance they're going to pop in any time. Again, so he thinks that's at least technically mutter. Again, as we said in the past, locking the door may at least create, even if it doesn't create a yichud problem, it definitely the offered won't have a good shmek to it. At least from a Dover Mechur perspective, you probably want to have the door unlocked also. But again, even the lower standard of the Radvaz is not just in theory someone could walk in. It's Lamaisa, there's a real chance that someone might walk in. You can also artificially create that. So let's say for instance, you are home on a Friday morning, no one else from the family is home, and there's a woman in the house who's doing laundry, is cleaning, whatever. Just the two of you for the next hour or two. That sounds like a yichud problem. So one solution is, sit by the window. Another solution is, go into the Beis Medrash and learn. Or go biking with a friend, get out of the house. That's a simple solution. Leave. Or, how are you going to create Pesach Pasuach? So certainly you can remain visible to the street the whole time. According to Radvaz, we have to figure out how we paskin. According to Radvaz, if you invite a friend into your house, obviously it's mutter. That's shnei anashim sheyem. But even if you mention to a friend, the door is open, there are cookies on the counter, feel free to pop in whenever you want to. If there's a real chance that he's going to pop in, so then that's Pesach Pasuach according to the Radbaz. So that addresses a number of these questions of the other rooms and the half-open door and the, it's not inviting other people's homes. All of these, the answer is practically, if you're looking for the Kivegur Beis Meir standard, are you actually visible to people walking by? If you're looking for the Radbaz standard, is there a real chance, a real legitimate chance, that someone might walk in at any moment here? In terms of a camera, so camera is, if the camera is really rolling and you don't control the camera, and there are other people, certainly there are other people watching, if it's just recorded and sort of archived somewhere, that's a little more questionable. You got to figure that out. If they're randomly are security people who are checking the cameras, which is often the case with CCTV, so then that's, I think posting usually assume that's the equivalent of chalon apasuach l'shos harab. There's randomly someone peeking through the camera window. It's like a chalon. Randomly there's someone peeking in. And it's even better. Chalon apasuach l'shos harab, at least you see if people are walking by or not. Here you have no clue.
If you don't know about the camera.
If you don't know about the camera, that doesn't help you.
Right, yeah.
But if you know about the camera, it's clearly a camera there, and you know that this is a building with security in it, so then that should be...
If you think there's a camera, but it's a fake camera.
If both of you think there's a camera there, that probably makes it mutter.
So it's about if you think it's not like what the Chazanish was saying. Is it psychological?
Yeah, Lechora. We're here for Lechora, definitely. Yeah, questions. Yeah.
Would it matter if, like, they have different levels within the house?
I don't think, well, but if you can go from one level to another level without even being seen by other people, then I think it's all the same.
Like if you lock the door to your room by yourself or your housekeeper's in the house.
No, I think the other way around. In other words, what we saw from the sugya, so the Chaznish works out.
That's where you
go. Right, that from Rabivi, that if a woman has the key and she's, you know, locks herself in her own room and he can't access it, that's going to be mutter. But the reverse is not necessarily going to be a solution.
Ready?
Yeah.
Do the halakhah of yichud change at night when keeping the door open or unlocked is a sakana?
If it's a sakana to keep the door open or locked, then you should figure out a different solution.
Yeah.
Potentially, it should be noted, with the rise, with the ubiquity of video chat and Zoom, many posts can assume that if I call someone, I video call someone, or I Zoom with someone, and I tell them I want to stay on because I want to avoid a yichud problem, l'chora also, calls man that you're, someone, my, that's, you just created, who forget about a security camera, I just created a chalon, even better chalon pasuach l'shos harab, at least as good as a chalon pasuach l'shos harab, I just brought someone in. As long as they're watching, again, if I hang up, then that eliminates that solution. Good. So stay on the video call with someone for as long as you have. And again, if they understand Hilchos Yichud, you don't have to talk to them for 2 hours. You can tell them, I'm leaving it open. I'm doing whatever I'm doing, you're doing whatever you're doing, but periodically peek in. It should be open the whole time. Make sure your phone doesn't go off. Make sure it's plugged in. And that will solve your yichud problem. Now, in a Hanami, let's circle back for more questions afterwards. So two of you had raised the question of Baal Be'ir. So you're right, and that's what we had been Ramas to write when we learned the sugya of Baal Be'ir. According to the combination of Rashi and Razbaz is a difficult combination, because Rashi's version of Baal Be'ir and the Razbaz's version of Pesach Pasuach sound like the same thing. Now, Rashi had said that Baal Be'ir is only, that's not how the Achronim understood it. Again, there are those who disagree, the Taz disagrees, but the Chachmasadim and others understood that Rashi means there's a real chance the husband might walk in now. Well, according to Razbaz, that's not just true for the husband, that's true for anybody. So you might say, okay, in the Hanami, it's just Rabban or Yosef were saying to give in two different examples, but based on the same lumdus. Either the door is unlocked so anyone might walk in, or even the door is locked, but the husband's around, he might walk in. That's one solution. Another solution is, okay, maybe Rashi is going to have to say, maybe that's another raya to be kivering the Beis Meir. Solution number three, maybe that's another raya to the Rambam against Rashi. And certainly for the Rambam, Baal Be'ir, the husband, it's not just about actually popping in, it's the husband's proximity, which in and of itself has a psychological impact. Whereas anyone else, it's only if they could actually come in. The fact that I have friends in the neighborhood, I have family in the neighborhood, but if they can't come in, or I don't anticipate they're going to come in, that's useless from a Hilchos Yichud perspective. Only the husband has that power. But if people actually might come in, so that's already, according to Radvaz, there's a real chance that people walk in, that's Pesach Pasuach. Now, The third piece of this, if the first question in Pesach Pasuach is a question of how you define Rishus Rabbim, the second question is a question of how you define Pesach Pasuach. I know we haven't yet given definitive psak about that, but let's first talk about the third major question. The third major question is what Benjamin raised before, which is, who are we addressing? How about it's Libo Gaspa? Take a look in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch had mentioned Libo Gaspa, the Machaber had mentioned Libo Gaspa only in Sif Ches in the context of Baal Be'ir. Why? Because the Gemara did. Shulchan Aruch in Sif Ches does not mention Libo Gaspa. However, take a look in the Chalkas Machokek, once again, and the Beis Shmuel. And the Chalkas Machokek is the Rashi position, Beis Shmuel is in Tosis position. Chalkas Machokek writes in Sif Ka'an Yud Gimel, Pesach Pashep Bishol Pasuach, which is a Rabbim, Nireh, top right corner, the Hey Nun, Hachinami, here too, Begasba Uvekinela Aser. Just as by Baal Be'ir, the Gemara said, Libo Gaspa, eliminates Baal Be'ir. True, as Hadeshin had quoted, Kinila Baal also eliminates Baal Be'ir. So true, as he says, same is true by Pesach Pasuach. If it's Libo Gaspa, then no Pesach Pasuach. If it's Kinila Baal, no Pesach Pasuach. Vechein hu betaf hei. And so is written in the Trumas Hadeshin, Seven Reishman of Dal. Now, what exactly is true, as Hadeshin writes? So you can either look inside Trumas Hadeshin, or you can just look to the left. Look to the Beis Shmuel, it gives a little more clarity. Imkine lo baila aser, Shmuel Sadeshin. V'chasa v'chalkez mechalkeg, who I did him gaspa aser. So it's the chalkez mechalkeg who said that he understood that imkine lo baila Baruch Hashem comes up rarely. Libo gaspa, Baruch Hashem comes up all the time. And I say Baruch Hashem very deliberately, because I think we mentioned right when we began talking about baila be'ir, that there's a particular example of Libo Gaspa, a particular scenario of Libo Gaspa, which is, by definition, not going to be relevant to Baal Be'ir, but can be relevant and will often be relevant to Pesach Pasuach. And that is a situation where a couple is dating, deep, things are going very well. They're close to getting engaged. Maybe they are already engaged. So clearly the young woman in question is not yet married. So Baal Be'ir is irrelevant. But Pesach Pasul Shus HaRabim, that's a great question. So that's a great question. So the Chelkas Mechoking and the Beis Shmuel are both assuming that if it's Libo Gaspa, and not only does Baal Be'ir not apply, like the Gemara says, but Pesach Pasuach doesn't apply either. Not everyone agrees. There are Achronim who disagree. For instance, the Taz. Take a look at the Taz.
Again, as I said last time, in Arachayim and in Yoredeya, the Taz is up top, the Rashi positioned, and in Eben Ezer, the printer decides to put him down below. So there's a long Taz. We're just going to take a look at the first line of Siv Ches. See that Siv Ches? The two rays up. Bayesh Epischo Vachulu. Gam Bezei Yishkesu Yizli Kishikini Lo Imo. Kama Shikaz Vesiv Ches. Vavur Lehegi Vachuvas Hadeshem. V'shem Tosu Sota. The Taz agrees that Kine La Baila ruins Pesach Pasuach the same way it ruins Baila Be'ir. That's already in the late Rishon in the Trumas HaNeshen, the late Ashkenaz Rishon, and the Taz gives a little more background. It's based on a Tosu Masech Sota. However, says the Taz, Aval, Vadai Gaspa of Kravasa, Vadai Moel is that Pesach Pasuach Rabu. So unlike the Chalukas Machulkin, who assumed that now the Trumas HaGeshen said Kino Avayla ruins Pesach Pasuach, so does Libo Gaspa. Taz says, of course not. If you think about it for a moment, again, it would help more to look in the sources. If you think about it for a moment, Kino Avayla is a far more disturbing scenario, not just disturbing, a far more concerning scenario than Libo Gaspa. Kina la baila means that the husband is seriously concerned that his wife is having an affair with this man. Then they're going to go have yichud or a wine test of masuach. That's very, very concerning. Yeah, Jewish possession says, Bezentosa says, Palabir doesn't work, test of masuach doesn't work. I understand. Again, in that scenario, it could be it's all in the husband's head, or it's not, and there's Rabbalayim Ludav. But the Taz says, why is the Chalukas Machlokes so facilely assuming that, well, if Kino Abayla ruins Pesach Pasuach, so does Baal Be'ir. So does Libo Gaspa. Taz says, no, Libo Gaspa is mild. They know each other. They're related. Whatever it is. They're dating. Again, there is added cause for concern, but it's not to the same extent as Kino Abayla. So we have Lomaisa, is a Machlokes classical Achronim, Chalukas Machlokes Beis Shmuel versus the Taz, Libo Gaspa Pesach Pasuach, Mutter or Aser. Very, very, very practical. So we're right now leaving two open issues that we're going to pick up with tomorrow. Let's just recap before we go. Pesach Pasuach, Big Machlokes Beis Meir Kineida versus Radbaz. Does it mean Mamish wide open or does it mean merely unlocked? And the lambda seems to be, do you require visibility or merely the possibility of an uninhibited entry? And then this other issue of Pesach Pasuach with a Libo Gaspa, Machlokes versus Taz. How do we pass on both issues we haven't yet spoken about, that what I would love you to think about for tomorrow, is they're both relevant issues to Pesach Pasuach, obviously, they're both going to come up plenty. Is there a conceptual connection between the two issues? And should that drive how they interact in terms of psychological ways? Something to think about for a moment.